This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge. You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Canny View, and it's my pleasure for the 200th time to have in the studio one of the team of the Stewart Group from right here in Hastings, the CEO of the Stewart Group, Nick Stewart. How you going, Nick?
Good, thank you. Yeah, 200.
200, that's pretty old, isn't it? You don't look too bad for 200.
Double century.
That's a lot of talking about finances, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, it's been a good consistent theme and trend with yourself. Look, we've had a lot of fun. Mm. We've talked about a huge array of topics. You know, we've had, you know, over that period, we've had three governments, we've had a few recessions.
Yes,
we've had, the OCR at one stage, we were talking that it was almost zero.
Yeah.
The other day it was at 5.5%, and it's now coming down. And we have seen quite a few things over 200 episodes.
And it's hard to believe that things change so quickly in such a short space of time that we very rarely talk about the same thing.
Yeah, it's amazing because when you think it and you reflect on it, you know, it's like watching a passing car. Most of the time when you sit back and go, well, you know, history does repeat. Mm. But when you're living in it, in the now, even though we have a fortnightly radio show, there is so much going on. But it's amazing the fact that, yeah, despite that, we don't have a huge amount of repetition.
No.
Exactly. Amazing. Right. So many topics.
Indeed. And our topic for today is the battle against domestic inflation.
It is. And we wrote a piece that was featured in the Herald about 3 weeks ago on this particular topic. And since then, the OCR, the overnight cash rate, has come down from 5.5% to 5.25%, and is forecast by people such as Jared Kerr, chief mm-hmm. economist at Kiwi Bank, to collapse by about another, potentially up to 300 points. I mean, almost 300 points from here, we could be down at about a 2.5% cash rate within 18 months.
It was unexpected, that change, though, wasn't it?
It was unexpected. Most people, if you read the Reserve Bank's speech, publication, or their notes in May on what they said, it was indicated that it wouldn't be to the new year that interest rates would drop. But look, it's there, right? It's their prerogative. When the facts change, you act. They've acted because they have said that at the moment Aotearoa New Zealand is in recession again.
Yeah.
This will be the fourth time since COVID that we've entered recession. I mean, we are like the proverbial basketball. We bounce up and down, up and down. It's quite difficult, but yeah, here we are.
I did hear some negative feedback on that rate change, that people had fixed their mortgages in anticipation of it not happening until next year.
I know. But look, it's a short space of time.
Mm.
You know, like you know, we're talking a 6-month window. You know, most people should have sufficient cash flow or the ability to pull the purse strings in a little bit to cover that. But the fact is, the steepness of the decline of rates is likely to be faster and greater than most people forecast, just as it was when it went up from next to nothing to 5.5%. It caught a lot of people unawares.
Now, when you hear the doom and gloom, for instance, Winston's, you know, in Ruapehu, they're going to be closing a couple of their mills. How does what's happened give people hope?
Right. Okay. So what's happened is, so the Reserve Bank has said, look, we're in recession, or it'll be likely confirmed that we are. Because remember, we get the data 3 months after the fact.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Okay. So they're wanting to give people a little bit of relief, starting to reduce the cost of funds, e.g. mm-hmm. the overnight cash rate. So that comes down, gives people mortgage rate relief, because it's not just mortgages. Remember, businesses borrow.
Yeah.
Businesses have both long-term debt and they also have short-term funding in the form of like an overdraft. And a farmer will have like a seasonal overdraft, et cetera. So you've got your long-term and short-term funding. So if you lower the rate of interest at the short end, eventually it flows through to everyone, that floats all boats. So that's pretty much what they've done. But if we go back to the thread of the article that we wrote recently, it's really come to the fore, and that is domestic inflation. So those of us that reside in Hawke's Bay, we've had Hawke's Bay regional rates are increasing by, you know, a magnitude of, what I recall if it was like 24.9% or 24.6%. Hastings is just a touch under 20%. Napier is just a touch under 20%. These are big numbers. When the Reserve Bank target is between 1% and 3% for inflation, and your local council, that is a monopoly. Like, you cannot avoid, you have to pay. You know, those numbers are tenfold the long run rate of inflation. And then you've got the cost of insurance, again, is a magnitude of around 20% for the average person with insurance cover. But the biggie is this power, and you referred to the pulp and paper processing plant at in the Ruapehu district there at Tangiwai. Many of you, when you drive between Waiuru and Awakuni, it's just there on the left. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of in the middle of paddocks. Well, the cost of power, the wholesale spot rate, the cost of power is up about 500% over a year. And they have effectively put the plant on hold. They did that a couple of weeks ago. And now they've said, we're actually going to shut the plant down. Yeah. Because 40% of their P&L, so their profit and loss statement, so, you know, revenue, income, 40% of their expenses now are power.
Yeah.
Their other, because they're an internationally owned plant, their other plants, the cost of power is one quarter the cost of what they pay here. And they have said, it appears this is going for the long term, so therefore we'll shut the plant down. So you've got that piece of inflation's now coming through.
And it's things like that that we can't control. So we can't control the rates. We can't control the power that's being charged to big companies like them, who then pass on, if they're going to stay in business, they pass on their costs to us.
Yes.
So how do you fight inflation? I was reading an article before you got here in event of this discussion, and I said, well, you know, you can control inflation by doing things yourself, but I mean, realistically, that's
well a big part that I've been talking about is, so effectively about half the economy is the government sector,
yes,
either central or local government. So if you think about it, last week there was a publication that published that over the last, so that to the 12 months to June, that the average state sector wage increase was above 7% for the 12 months. The private sector, which is you and I, Ken, because we're not employed by the government, either local or central, our average wage increase was 2.8%. Yes. So if the government is paying its employees near on triple the rate, or just a 2.5-fold the rate of the private sector, you cannot rely on the private sector to close its wallet and deal with inflation when the public sector is spending like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
It's extremely difficult. And the other thing is the cost of the spend and the quality of the outputs of the government sector have come into question. Now, you remember that the current government have come in. They're now some 10 months into their first term, if it's a first term or a second term. But, yeah, of their first term at the moment. And so they're picking up a lot of the mess from the prior government. Very, very standard practice globally. You know, you see the incumbent, they arrive and they're like, wow, blow me, this is difficult, because there's a lot of baked in spend that happened in the past that was signed off that gets inherited by the government that's coming in, our now incumbent government. So we're seeing a lot of that, and it's really unfortunate because it means that the domestic inflation is actually very high. Yeah. It's in the mid 5%. International inflation, or the inflation that we import, like TV screens, petrol, etc., those things that we don't generate here, that inflation has absolutely collapsed. And it is that global inflation, what we import, that has brought our inflation down to a level that is getting down to where the Reserve Bank would like it. But unfortunately, our domestic inflation is flying along at quite a clip. And I would say a lot of it, you've got to look at the government sector on where that is being delivered, because it's a huge portion of the economy.
So what the Reserve Bank did was really a bit of a Clayton's handout, wasn't it? They gave us a little bit, but
it was. Well, I think they, because remember, they can think about it like hills that you're climbing when you're going for a tramp. they are looking many, many hills ahead. There may be a hill ahead, that's inflation, but they're looking through that and saying, no, we can see the other side. We know there's a, you know, there's good pasture, there's good territory beyond this hill. That's what they're looking forward to. And when I say looking forward in terms of vision, they can do that, but us in the now, like, we just have to try to get through. And unfortunately, with things like this power crisis that we have at the present time, there are businesses that are exposed to the short end of the curve, so they're buying the wholesale spot rate, and unfortunately they cannot survive with a power price that looks like that. Now, just touching on the power, eventually, if you have wholesale power prices that are at that elevated level, eventually it will flow through to the retail public, to you and I, Ken.
Oh, yeah, it already is.
Well, yeah, well, but like, I'm still meeting people who go, what's this power crisis? My power bill hasn't gone up. That's because the provider that they are with has hedging. But eventually the hedging expires. Just each day gets closer to it expiring until that provider has to go to the market and buy on today's price.
Yeah, but I would guess that the person who's buying the product from Winston's Mills in the Ruapehu, they're already feeling the effect of that power increase, aren't they?
Well, actually, that particular mill has said we actually can't pass on the price increase.
Oh, really?
Because, remember, they are competing on the international market. They're exporting. So if you're exporting with someone who's buying their power at $100 a megawatt and you're competing with someone that's at you're 600, they're 100.
Yes, no brainer,
like you can't compete. Now, even if you were to say, oh, but our power is generated by renewables, when there's a global cost of living crisis, and when I say cost of living, like across many, many sectors, people go, you know what, I'm not so interested in the sustainability aspect when I'm just really just want a roof over my head and I want to feed my family. Yeah. So you're talking about like going to the supermarket instead of having the chicken that's organically raised and lives outside and kumbaya and you sing to it. Versus the caged egg chicken, the people go, you know what? I really like the fact that the chicken gets to live in the open air and it's, you know, rural raised, etc. But at the moment, I just need to get my tray of my 12 eggs, and I'm happy to go for the barn raised eggs at the present time. You're getting a lot of people who are moving from that kind of organic to just, I just have to fill my shopping basket.
Yes, exactly right. The current rate of inflation, is it likely to cause a recession, do you think, in the medium to long term, or is it going to make that recession that we're seemingly in just last a lot longer?
Yeah, it would appear that it will possibly be a little bit longer, because the real fear is that we have a spike in global inflation, because if we haven't dealt with our domestic inflation, you know, inflation that's generated here, you know, too much money chasing too few goods. If we have that happen here, and then globally there's a flare-up, there's another Middle Eastern crisis, and I mean like a big one, where global shipping is dramatically affected, the price of oil doubles, et cetera, like think Kuwait war, then global inflation would spike. So then we haven't dealt with our domestic inflation, global inflation spikes, and then the whole thing kicks off again. That's the risk.
Are we in the basket on our own here, or is the rest of the world faring just as bad as what we are?
Ours appears to be worse than others. Worse than others in the sense that being at the bottom of the world, being exposed to a number of, some say, climate-related events like the cyclone, the cost of our insurance premiums is going up at a greater rate than other nations. And I chat with my friends globally. I'm in a study group with people across 17 different jurisdictions. They are not having insurance premium increases like ourselves. They are also not having power price increases like ourselves. And thirdly, and unfortunately, their local body rates are not going up by anything near what ours are. So, look, I'm sorry for the trifecta of doom and gloom, but but that is where we are presently at. The good part is that power prices will likely come down once we get the spring thaw, so the snow melt in the South Island, and we move back to our normal pattern where we typically in the South Island have a slightly wetter September and October. So power prices will come down, but the insurance and the municipal rates, I'm just not sure we're going to see those come down.
I wouldn't think so. What's the is there a benefit, is there an upside to inflation at all?
Only if you're a person who holds goods or assets that appreciate by inflation, but it, trying to inflate away your ills, it, unfortunately, it inflates some, but a lot of people get left behind, and it's very, very difficult. I saw a stat the other day out of Italy that over the last 25 years, that the due to the poor rate of wage inflation in Italy, that many people have had only, I think I recall it was something like a 1.2% wage increase over two decades.
Wow.
But you've had phenomenal inflation on other areas in that nation over the same period. So it means that people do get left behind. You get a very disgruntled working group of the population.
Inflation versus deflation. What are we better off with?
Deflation can be very problematic. So the idea is you want a little bit of inflation, controlled and quite benign, but deflation can also mean, well, effectively degrowth, and that can be very, very painful for people.
And what effect does inflation have on your industry? So people have got some money to invest. What do they look at to invest in when inflation is either on us or on the horizon?
So bonds are a very difficult thing to have when you have inflation, because you own a bond. It has a fixed coupon. It has a fixed rate of return for a fixed time period. So effectively, it means that you've locked in and bought, a 5-year bond or a 5-year term deposit, and about 6 months later, inflation spikes up, and all of a sudden, the coupon or the rate of return offered on new bonds and new term deposits is far greater. So it means the bond that you hold actually, on a mark-to-market pricing, actually decreases in capital value. So instead of it being worth $1,000, the bond is now worth $950. So during periods of high inflation, bonds can be difficult for those that have already bought them and own them, just the same as inflation can be extremely difficult for those that hold cash.
Yeah.
So, you know, you remember, there's a lot of money in New Zealand. There is more money invested in short-dated cash instruments, so funds sitting in a check account, sitting in an on-call savings account, and very short-dated term deposits, than there are in the entire value of the New Zealand stock market.
Amazing. Can you hedge against inflation? I heard gold is at an all-time absolute high.
Yeah, it is, but it's interesting because with gold, and there's always a few gold bugs out there.
Yeah.
Gold bugs are those that love gold. The actual utilizing gold over the last 20 years as an inflation hedge has actually been quite poor. But lately it has bounced. There are some inflation bonds that you can buy globally. We don't offer those here in New Zealand. But the easiest way with inflation is to hold a diverse, broad exposure to various assets, but also assets that have the ability to pass on price increases.
Yep.
So, like, I often give examples where there are, you call them staples or, you know, consumer staple type companies, companies that manufacture things that you and I use on a regular, on every day, like it might be some palm olive soap, it might be your razor blades, it might be your favorite mayonnaise. Those things you can pass across small price increases with inflation and the consumer will pay. Whereas there are some items at the larger end, say like a new German European car, the rate of inflation on those will turn people off and they will look for alternatives.
Absolutely.
But at the supermarket, when they're going to buy their granola, their palm olive, their favorite olive oil, or their favorite, in our house, it's a mayonnaise.
Mm.
If you don't get the right mayonnaise, you're in trouble. So when we get we will pay that little bit more for the mayonnaise. We don't even blink about it because it's what we do. But that's because it's off a small base. So you find many of those consumer staple type companies can pass across those price increases, just the same as in New Zealand. We've got a very tightly controlled energy market with the gentailers. They're all the listed big end of town power companies. They just pass across the price increases, and for the most part, people will typically pay.
You mentioned diversification, and that's one of your bugle calls, I guess. But you have to be of the mindset that, hey, look, tough times now, but it's going to get better.
Absolutely. Well, most of us are glass half full individuals. we believe the glass will be replenished, that the bucket will replenish itself, and that, well, you know, you and I just spoke before the call, Ken, you know, spring's only 9 days away from now, and, you know, light effectively is at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be great. Spring lambs bouncing about. But in terms of investing, if you flip it on its head, it's like we're always forward-looking. Mm. We're not looking at what the profit for, but what the profit delivery is today for the companies we invest. But it's what will the profitability be like tomorrow and the year after that and the year after that and the decade after that.
Yep.
Because that's why you engage capital for the future, not for the now.
Absolutely. And on that, we'll bring to an end this 200th episode of Canny View. I'm going to leave it today with you, Nick. What's the final word?
I just want to say thank you to the listeners. We get some fabulous feedback. A lot of you give us commentary, ideas for what you'd like us to run in the weeks ahead. Some of them end up in the circular archive bin, in the storage folder. Many though we put into the hopper, and we put them into our articles and our radio show. So I just wanted to big shout out to the listeners. Thank you for your feedback. Keep it coming. But also, Ken, just wanted to say to you, thank you for your support. Thank you for being a great interviewer. I know that some of my team and I, that you come in here some days and Ken will just throw things at us, and it's like we're juggling plates, and we're always having to think on our feet, and it's great to have that dialogue. So thank you.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.